What is up, you guys? Welcome to another edition of Controversial Thoughts. The other day, I tweeted on Twitter, because that's what you do on Twitter, is you tweet. I tweeted that I generally avoid politics, and this is true. I generally try not to take a political stance, and I will not take a political stance in this video either. But when the foods that I believe are the most central to human health, longevity, radical enjoyment of life are threatened by political forces or political ideas, I have to stand up for what I believe in. There was a big kerfluffle over the weekend when a couple of things happened. So there was a climate summit last week, and the Biden administration shared their ideas for climate, which are laudable. On the first day of the summit, President Biden upped the ante. He announced the United States will target reducing emissions by 50 to 52% by 2030, compared with 2005 levels. And he went on to suggest that by 2050, perhaps we will be carbon zero, enhancing climate ambition, enabling the transformations required to reach net zero emissions by 2050. President Biden is galvanizing efforts by the world's major economies to reduce emissions during this period. Now, interestingly, the Biden administration hasn't said anything about the implications of red meat, thankfully. And no matter where you stand on the Biden administration, hopefully we can all agree, or I believe we can all agree on the fact that we hope that this administration will understand the nuances I'm going to talk about in this video and will defend the most nutritious foods on the planet that will be critical for regenerating ecosystems. So unfortunately, what happened was that apparently a 2020 report from the University of Michigan was connected with these recommendations in the Daily Mail, not the best newspaper in the world, and it caused a big stir. So I'm not sure I agree with all of these University of Michigan recommendations. It was a 2020 publication. They say cutting animal foods in the US diet by half could prevent 1 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. Sounds like a big number. What is it all based on? I'll show you in this video. And so the end of all of that was that in order to meet Biden's recommendations, we could all eat 4 pounds of meat per year and reduce our consumption of red meat by 90%. Again, really bad ideas, not based on true understanding of the data, and quite misleading things, which we'll talk about in this video. So, and that got promulgated by Fox News and others, and then the University of Michigan had to come back and say, oh wait, we didn't say that. This is misinformation. Everybody was fact-checking. Okay, so they say there's no connection between our study, Joe Biden's climate plan. This appears to be an association made erroneously by the Daily Mail that has been picked up widely. Our study merely identifies the opportunities for emissions reductions that are possible from changes in the diet. By no means does it suggest that these changes in diet will be required to meet climate goals. Okay. So, and then multiple other sources are echoing this, like Fox, which tends to lean anti-animals in general, just as a piece of information. And I thought it was pretty funny that one of a House of Representatives, Republican House of Representatives member, dubbed Biden the Hamburglar. So let's just hope that Biden doesn't become the Hamburglar in the future, and that the administration will defend meat and organs as good sources of nutrition for humans and as parts of a healthy ecosystem on this planet. So where the heck did the University of Michigan get these numbers? You can see here is the actual paper from 2020. They say total emissions associated with producing the average US diet amounts to 5 kilograms of CO2 equivalents per person per day, whereas red meat, beef, pork, and lamb represents 9% of the calories available from this diet. It contributes 47% of the greenhouse gas emissions. That's interesting. All animal-based foods combined, red meat, poultry, fish, seafood, eggs, dairy, and animal-based fats, represent 82% of the baseline diet greenhouse gas emissions. Okay, puzzling. Where do they get all those numbers from? So here is where things get murky and misleading, and many people are being dishonest. When you hear the figure quoted, from an FAO study that livestock accounts for 15% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Consider this. That is 15% of global greenhouse gas emissions as a percentage of total human anthropogenic greenhouse gas emissions, number one. It's worldwide, so you're mixing in countries that are developing nations that are much less efficient with their livestock, and they're producing a greater majority, in fact, huge amount of those greenhouse gas emissions because their cows are not healthy and they're not fed properly. And number three, the fact is that that study from the FAO only compared tailpipe emissions from transportation to life cycle emissions, or the greenhouse gas footprint from cows. That is apples to oranges. You cannot compare life cycle of a cow to tailpipe emissions in an automobile. That study from the FAO made transportation look a lot less guilty than it really is. Many of you have probably seen this figure from my book, Carnivore Code, suggesting that beef cattle production responsible only for 1.9% of US greenhouse gas emissions in 2016. And comparatively, the transportation industry and electricity generation. How can there be such a discrepancy here? How is this possible? This is a study from the EPA. So the difference is that this study is looking at US-based emissions, and this study is comparing tailpipe to, quote, tailpipe, meaning this study is actually looking at the greenhouse gas emissions, the carbon dioxide equivalents of the methane coming from the burps of cows, not life cycle emissions from cows worldwide, and comparing that to tailpipe emissions from transportation. So let's just get all of that completely straight and understand how the FAO numbers get parroted and parroted and parroted by plant-based interest groups in a very misleading manner. When any administration wants to attack beef, they will use the FAO numbers, and they will use these numbers that are misleading that you need to understand if you want to have this conversation with people that you care about to help them truly appreciate what role animal agriculture has in greenhouse gas emissions. It's very, very misleading. Furthermore, I thought it was incredibly ironic that on April the 26th, Epicurious decided to publish this article, After Beef, The Planet on the Plate, Why Epicurious Left Beef Behind. In an effort to encourage more sustainable cooking, we won't be publishing new beef recipes on Epicurious. That's really strange. They parrot the FAO data. Almost 15% of greenhouse gas emissions globally come from livestock and everything involved in raising it. That is a life cycle emission of livestock compared to a tailpipe emission from transportation. No one has done a life cycle greenhouse gas emissions of transportation industry. It would look very bad and skew all of the numbers in other directions. 61% of those emissions can be traced back to beef. We know beef is going to get the brunt of this. Then they go on to say cows are 20 times less efficient to raise than beans and roughly 3 times less efficient than poultry and pork. Where do they get those numbers from? So when you actually dig into that data, they link to this article, which continues to cite the FAO data from 2017, which is quite misleading. If you go further into this report, it's the same old stuff, which is quite misleading. Beef requires 20 times more land and emits 20 times more greenhouse gas emissions per gram of edible protein than common plant proteins such as beans. And they go on, they make this little asterisk, they put this in here. And while the majority of the world's grasslands cannot grow crops or trees, imagine that, the majority of the land that cows, that beef is raised on, cannot grow crops in the first place. So why do we care if it uses more land if that land can't be used to grow anything else? They're upcycling. They're turning grass in land that is non-arable into the most nutritious food on the planet for us. Then they make a claim, which is not necessarily true. While the majority of the world's grasslands cannot grow crops or trees, true, such native grasslands are already heavily used for livestock production, meaning additional beef demand will likely increase pressure on forests. That's complete speculation and doesn't have to be that way. And then they say that beef emits 20 times more greenhouse gas emissions per gram of edible protein than common plant proteins such as beans. Again, a very misleading statistic, depending on whether you're looking at the FAO data or you're looking at the EPA data, whether you're looking at life cycle analysis of the cow and you're comparing it. But if we go back to the original graphic from my book, you can see that, in fact, agriculture results in more greenhouse gas emissions than livestock in the United States, significantly more. And of the livestock, beef were about half. So agricultural crops, in fact, produce more greenhouse gas emissions in the United States. Now, one of the unspoken inconsistencies in the line of thinking of all of these news media outlets that are talking about this is that you can't just disappear all beef. You have to replace it with something to feed humans. And you're going to replace it with less nutritious food that is going to monocrop a field, which is going to deplete nutrients from that field and create an ecological disaster. Not only is it going to wipe out thousands of species in that field, it's going to create infertile soil, which will then need to have synthetic fertilizers, which will eventually become completely fallow and unable to produce any crops at all until you put animals back on it, until you regenerate the land, putting animals on the land. You cannot regenerate land efficiently without animals on the land. And what all these people are ignoring is that when you replace cows with plants, those plants are going to have a carbon footprint that in many cases is higher than the cows, especially if those cows are raised regeneratively, which is something I've talked about many times in the past. I did a whole video this weekend of me grilling carbon negative, grass-fed, grass-finished steaks from White Oak, Valcampo, and some stuff from Force of Nature Meats. And those are carbon negative things, meaning that we are sequestering more carbon into the ground than we're producing. All of these metrics are ignoring the potential of regenerative agriculture, and they are ignoring the greenhouse gas carbon footprint of monocrop agriculture, and they are ignoring the incredible environmental damage that monocropping does to an ecosystem. It's not a sustainable solution. It still makes carbon, if that's what you're trying to avoid, and it's less nutritious for humans. We've established that many times. And then you're going to end up with a field that can't grow anything. And then what are you going to do? You're going to starve. Going back to this frustrating report from the World Resources Institute, they do note there are many studies that show contradictory data. But they say an acre of land devoted to food production is often an acre that could store far more carbon if allowed to grow forest or its native vegetation. That is false. Putting animals on the land, pooping and peeing, especially grasslands, which are the native vegetation of a lot of the planet, is definitely the way to sequester a whole lot more carbon into that land. You're not going to get grassland to sequester carbon unless you put animals back on it, and that is ruminants that are supposed to be there. So it's a shame that Epicurious is going to say that. They're cutting out beef. It won't appear in any new Epicurious recipes, articles, or newsletters. It will not show up on our homepages. It will be absent from our Instagram feed. In 2021, it has become taboo to talk about red meat and the benefits of it. Epicurious isn't going to talk about regenerative agriculture. We are ignoring meat. This is propaganda. They are trying to erase meat from our consciousness. And this is a horrible, horrible, scary thing. We know that some people might assume this decision signals some sort of vendetta against cows or the people who eat them. Not made because we hate hamburgers. Instead, our shift is solely about sustainability. Well, Epicurious needs to realize there's a very sustainable way to raise cows, and that shifting to plant-based agriculture won't solve the problem at all. If everyone in the United States went vegan, every single person, there would be a 2.6% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. If 10% went vegan, 0.26% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. So how is that about sustainability? Not to mention the collapse of our food system, because our fields would be completely infertile. So this probably is a good time to proudly say that even though Epicurious isn't going to have any beef recipes, I am not afraid to share with you guys some beef recipes. I've got a cookbook. This is the first time I've talked about it. You guys are seeing the cover for the first time now. It's coming out December 28th. You can pre-order it now, everywhere, Amazon, wherever you want to get it. Carnivore Code Cookbook. You better believe There are recipes with red meat in this cookbook, and we are promoting grass-fed, grass-finished, regeneratively raised meat in this book, carbon negative. It is an animal-based cookbook, so it has the least toxic plant foods in it, in addition to meat, to make it much more enjoyable, much more broadly reaching in its content. And there are meal plans. There's all kinds of good stuff. I'm super proud of this cookbook that I designed with Ashley and Sarah Armstrong, the Strong Sisters, December 28th, 2021. You can go to Amazon now and pre-order if you want. I'll be talking about it a whole lot more. You better believe there are also organs in this cookbook. And if you need more organs in your diet, you can always check us out at heartandsoil.co. I've been loving our skin, hair, and nail supplement recently with the trachea and scapula cartilage, not hoof and hide cartilage. It's just really high quality cartilage with special peptides. Combine that with bone marrow and liver, and it is amazing, an amazing, amazing supplement. So Epicurious, you're not gonna have beef, but I'm gonna put beef in my cookbook for sure. You better believe it. While we're speaking about monocropped land, farmland becoming infertile, I want to harken back to something that you all learned about in your elementary school days, the Fertile Crescent, the cradle of civilization among the Tigris, Euphrates, and Nile rivers, once led to an abundance of riches. Now the depletion of those resources has led to strife in the Middle East. This is a encyclopedia entry from National Geographic. There was a lot of damming in this area of rivers, but also over-farming led to desertification. A huge amount of cropland in the world right now has become infertile. We are desertifying the earth by monocrop agriculture. Okay, replacing cows with plants is not the answer, guys. It's not the answer. You are being misled. I will not mix words about that at all. I will not. I want to talk about a few more pieces of this equation, and then I'm going to wrap this controversial thoughts up. People always say, what about water use in cows? 94% of the water that cows use is green water. It is rainwater that is falling on the land where the cows are that would be there regardless of the cows. 6% of the water is non-green water. And that water immediately gets peed back out onto the land. Cows are not a nuclear reactor destroying water molecules. Water doesn't get destroyed from this. Cows use 6% green, non-green water, 94% green water. You will never hear that statistic from a plant-based person. So if you look at a quarter pound of beef, it uses 122 liters of non-green water. Sounds like a lot, right? Until you realize that a quarter pound of rice uses 90 liters, a quarter pound of bread uses 55, and a quarter pound of almonds, 1,097 liters of non-green water to make a quarter pound of almonds. Do you hear anyone screaming about limiting your almond consumption? No, but almonds are creating a huge drought in California and other areas of the world where they're grown, but no one will ever talk about this. We talked about the land use with the arable versus non-arable land. Let's talk about the food that cows are eating. The majority of food that cows eat is not edible by humans. It's not food that we could even eat, and why would we want to even if it were edible? Because why should we be eating grains in the first place? Cows eat grass. If we grass feed and grass finish, which is sustainable, they are taking a silica-containing food that humans cannot eat and turning it into meat and organs, the most nutritious foods on the planet. There's no discussion about using human food to feed cows because cows should be eating grass. Methane. Cows do burp methane, but methane is a small fraction of greenhouse gas emissions. But of that methane, how much do you think actually comes from cows? Because there are other methane sources in the world. A third. A small proportion comes from cows. The majority of the methane emitted comes from natural sources, termites, bogs, wetlands, and a lot of methane actually comes from landfills. What ends up in landfills? Wasted food. What is most wasted food? 86% of wasted food is plant food. More plant food, more wasted food. More food in landfills, more methane. Get it? Got it. Nobody wastes meat because meat is so precious. People waste plant foods. It ends up in landfills. Methane comes out of landfills. The majority of wasted food is plant food. None of these solutions being proposed address any of these issues. People are basing all of this on faulty data that doesn't understand the role of cattle or cows or ruminants in ecosystems. Here's another statistic for you. In 1850, there were 150 million ruminants in North America. 150 million cows, well, buffalo, elk, antelope, pronghorn. Methane levels were 86% of what they are today, but carbon dioxide levels were not rising in 1850. Methane levels were the same, essentially, slightly lower, but carbon dioxide levels were not rising. To suggest that cows are meaningfully contributing to rising carbon dioxide levels in the environment is short-sighted. It's myopic, it's wrong, and it ignores the potential of cows to be good actors on land, to regenerate the land, to regenerate the soil, hugely important topic. And let us not forget that NPR got it right 10 years ago. They ran an article saying, "Food for thought, a meat-based diet made us smarter." And I thought this was so interesting because it's something I talked about in my book and many other places. There are so many unique nutrients in meat and organs that humans need that we can't ignore. And yet, do you think NPR would even consider publishing a study like that today? Not if they're of the same political persuasion or ideological persuasion as Epicurus, who is eliminating meat from their consciousness completely. Yet here is meat being discussed in 2010 by NPR as a contributor to human intelligence and human health, the things that I shout from the rooftops every single day. But it would never happen today because meat is trying to be erased from our consciousness. And the Epicurus decision based on faulty information is a scary, scary move in that direction. Thankfully, my cookbook will counteract that with a strong right hook. Say, F you, Epicurus. I'm gonna make a whole cookbook with meat so people can get more of it because this is what we should be doing to be optimally healthy humans. So don't let meat become erased from your consciousness. I pray, I hope deeply that the Biden administration will defend the foods that are most nutritious for you and your families, meat and organs, whether fresh or desiccated. And we hope they will not listen to any of these recommendations from the University of Michigan. Yes, there was a little bit of misreporting over the weekend when these things got associated, but the fact remains that we all hope that the current administration will defend the foods that make us radically healthy. So that is my hope and my prayer. And I hope that this video was helpful. I've got a whole podcast on this coming out with Robbie Sansom very soon, but do not be misled. Do not let meat be erased from your consciousness. These are the foods that made us human. These are the foods that will allow you to thrive. These are the foods that have always been present on the planet in ecological systems. Don't be misled by any of this false data. Understand what's going on here. It's critical. And it's sad that meat has become a political issue, but we can't ignore this. Stay radical, you guys.